This morning, I'm going to be preaching a message that the reason I'm preaching this message is because when I prepare a message, first I've asked the Lord to what I preach on. And when I settle on what it is, I want to use that message for the radio ministry and the television ministry. That way I can just focus my time preparing a message that's I can put more into it rather than trying to make three different messages. Today's message is not so much for our church here, but I wanted it to be used mainly for radio and television. But nevertheless, it's good for all of us to know. And I'm going to be talking about the sufferings of hell. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 42, Jesus said these words, "And shall cast them as people," that's people Jesus is referring to, "into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Pain so severe, so much torment, that people will be grinding their teeth in the lake of fire. Loving God, thank you for warning us of the dangers of dying without Christ. May it frighten all of us and to keep serving God and to warning others of what hell is going to be like. And I know while none of us ministers can ever depict fully the sufferings of hell to our people, nevertheless, Lord, just make it real and that we'll warn others of dying without Christ, how awful that's going to be. It's just frightening and scary, Lord, to think that most people are ignoring their souls today. They don't care about their soul today. They're just caring about what they want, what they think. They don't seem to even give a thought that you made them for your own self. And they're running as hard as they can to get away from you. It troubles me, Lord. It troubles me, Lord. So in your wisdom and power, take our feeble efforts, Lord, and magnify them. And these souls here in this salvation box, Lord, somehow cause them to know they're treading on dangerous ground every day, that they deny Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bless us for your holy name's sake, I pray. Amen and amen. Is there really a place called hell? Has God really made a place where people and angels will be tormented forever? You reckon a good God would do that, folks? You believe that? Well, according to the Bible, there's such a place. Someone might say, but is the Bible really true? We got a lot of folks today don't believe it's true. A lot of folks today don't believe this book is the Word of God. If there's a good God who loves everyone, they say, why would he allow people to be thrown into such an awful place if he loves them? People just don't understand. And boy, our Sunday school lesson bore it out today, how holy God is. Boy, think about that mountain hit on fire and Moses being told to go up. Amen? Yeah. God's awesome, folks. We can't even understand how awesome God is. He's so holy. He is so holy. Yes, the Bible is true no matter what men say or do, and no one can do anything about it. Amen. You can't change it. Amen. You can't change it. Hell is a special prepared place for all the enemies of God. All the enemies of God. And who are God's enemies? Well, Matthew tells us in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, that's people, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. He's talking to people. Prepared, hell was not prepared for any man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And yet Jesus has just told us that man is going to the same fiery hell the demons and the devil is going to. And they're going there to spend eternity. All sinners who have refused the gift of salvation through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, who died for the sins of all the world, will be thrown into this eternal fire. I believe I mentioned it recently that in the United States they say there's about 330 million people living here. They don't know that to be sure because there's so many illegals that's crossed the border. There's no telling, but they give the 330 million as about the number of people in the United States. That's a lot of people, folks. 330 million. According to statistics, only about 27% of them are Christians, born again Christians. About 27%. That's over 300 million people in the United States lost. That's a lot of people. That's most of our people. And here we are, the Christians that's born again supposedly, and we're praying, Lord, elect our president against such an overflow of those that can't reach God with a prayer. Isn't that sad, folks? People begin to face the sufferings of hell when they reach the age of accountability, ever what age God determines that to be. For some, it'll be at a different age than others, probably. Why? Because everybody's a sinner, and everybody needs salvation. God is a holy God who cannot look upon sin, and he determines to destroy all who rebel against him. Boy, there's one thing God hates, it's rebellion, folks. You can't tell me what to do. We seen that last Sunday a little bit. That ain't gonna stand. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are lost till we get saved. All of us. We're all in the same category, sinners. God has provided forgiveness through his Son Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for the sins of the world. Boy, that's something. God's provided forgiveness. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. He wanted to, and he did. But what's even more amazing is the way that he did it. that through what the Bible calls the incarnation, God himself will become a man. I still can't get over that. That God, through the incarnation, would come into the world as a little baby and grow into manhood, but even as a baby, he was God. The same God that made the world. And he came to pay for sin for everybody. To pay for everybody's sin. And all who would trust him as their Savior would be forgiven. And not only would they be forgiven, but they would be given eternal life. They would get to live forever in a glorified state and place. Folks, what an awesome God. I wish I knew how to better tell you about how great he is and his love for all of us. And what he's did to reconcile us to himself. How bad, if I can use that kind of terminology, how bad God wants us to be with him. As people, we live. As people live, they will hear in some way of a place called hell. People going about, somehow or another, they'll know or hear tell of a place called hell, the unsaved I'm talking about. They'll witness Bibles. They'll see Bibles. They'll see churches. They'll see people that's going to those churches. And they'll be told or asked questions or come across the information about a Bible, getting saved, serving God, Jesus Christ. All of that's going to reach their attention, especially in this country. Amen. When there's a church on every corner, they may never take any interest, though, or seek to investigate what all this means, or they may very well read the Bible sometime. They might even go to church sometime and then say, well, I'm not ready for that yet. But nevertheless, they've heard, they've been warned. There may be times they reflect on this and wonder how true religion is and what part it should play in their lives. People reflect on things like that. I can go back and think as a young person, I give thought, is that really true? You probably have too. And I told you before when I got saved, I thought I didn't need to go to church no more. I've been saved. What did I need to go to church for? I've been saved now. Boy, you can have some dumb thoughts, can't you? Oh, yeah. They even at times may be fearful that there really is a place called hell. And they might go there. Still, many will ignore such a fear and fill their life with something to take their minds off such thinking there might be a hell. That's what people do. They fill their life with things. At pastimes, have no time for God. But then one day, as they're going about, suddenly, in the prime of their life, without any warning, and it happens nearly every day, they have a massive heart attack. And suddenly, life scenes begin to fade. And they sink down into deep darkness and helplessness. Within moments, they sense they are still alive and being carried by someone without their consent into an eerie place, begging because it's getting uncomfortable. And they're crying, and they're hot, and they're thirsty. And they're suddenly with scores of other screaming people that are terrified as they are. In a moment of time, it all happened. It's a haunting place. It's a lonely place. And to your horror, you realize you're not dreaming, but you have died and gone to hell. Too late now to prepare, for your fate is sealed to live in hell forever, happening every day. And this is just the beginning, for now your future is going to get even more fearful, because you are now separated from God, who is life, and you have chosen death. That is when it really hits you. You have chosen to be where you are because you failed to heed the warnings of the Bible, the church, the witnesses you saw living the life of faith. You saw the big, beautiful world God made, and that heaven declared its glory, and you gave God no praise. You had no thanks for all the blessings of life He had given you, and you had even denied His existence. Now you are in hell, and you can't get out. Now all of your opportunities are gone, and there is not one thing you can do about it. Now you are naked, hot, thirsty, miserable, lonely, and it's going to get much worse. You're going to the judgment, where all your sins are waiting to be exposed. And you don't have a Savior. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small, great, stand before God, and all the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. This judgment is for all those just like you, who had no time for God. Notice the severity of this judgment is such that even the earth and the heaven fled away. This judgment is the judgment of an angry God at sinners who rejected His Son, who had died such a horrible death to save them from their sin. And they refused to trust Him. They have committed the unpardonable sin, and there will never be any forgiveness. Now the Sovereign One sits on His throne, and you are brought in, and the books containing everything you did in your life is written in the books. All your words, all your thoughts, all your intentions, all your deeds, whether they're good or bad, they're all recorded. And it doesn't look good for you. You're already condemned. Now it's just a matter of the severity of the sentence from the judge. Your opportunities are looked at. All the times you could have got saved, all the times you could have been forgiven, and you wouldn't believe. Now, with His eyes blazing as a fire, He speaks and says, "Cast him into the lake of fire." Into the furnace of fire there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 13:50 says. You are paralyzed with fear. You have no defense. You're already screaming, begging, pleading, crying, but no one sympathizes with you. No one cares. There's no hope. Now you're descending into the flames of the lake of fire, where all the wicked are and the demons that deceived you with the devil himself. And this is now your home. What kind of fellowship you are going to have in that place of the damned. You cannot blame anyone but yourself. That's the worst thing of all. You didn't think you needed salvation. You were a good person. You didn't want Jesus. You were too proud to admit you were a sinner. Now look at you. What a fool you are. The Word of God had forewarned. Psalms 90:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged itself and opened her mouth without measure. Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Think about that. Soul and body in hell. Yeah, the wicked's body is going to be brought back to life again. Their soul will enter into it to be cast into hell. Luke 16:23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. People in hell will probably be able to look where we're at to their dismay. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and you will be in hell with those demons. All these warnings, and you wouldn't listen. You thought you knew better. But now look at you. You're in hell now. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Look at the people drawing back. They don't want Jesus. Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our soul. Amen. There's not going to be any fun in hell. There's not going to be any friends in hell. Oh, former friends will be there, but they won't be friends there. There's not going to be any pleasure in hell. Hell is going to be hell forever. And all who go there chose to go there rather than repent of sin and accept the forgiveness offered by Jesus Christ. People can deny. People can laugh and joke. People can make fun of such a place. But there is. And all who fail to repent of their sin and trust Jesus as their Savior will find themselves in this God-forsaken place for eternity. I close with this. Please don't go to hell. Make sure you're saved. And Paul said in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession unto salvation. People can get saved by believing on Jesus Christ. People can miss hell by believing on Jesus Christ. Any sinner, anywhere. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Folks, there is a hell. And that's what this old book is about. That's why God said, don't forsake coming to church. You can't come to church too much. You can't read it too much. We can't dwell on the things of the Lord too much. We can't pray for others too much. There's a glorious God that loves us. And oh, what he sacrificed to rescue us. So let's keep supporting missionaries and mission work. Others may not care. Others may not care people go to hell. But we, the children of God, are supposed to care. We're supposed to serve the Lord. we're servants of the Lord, even now. And the Bible tells us we're to be faithful. We're to be faithful. And the Bible has already told us there's going to be few that make it. According to the population, just a few going to make it. But you can make it. I can make it by believing on Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, the subject is awful, but the subject is true. And so, Lord, as we take this message and then we make radio messages and a television message, continue to let it go forth to warn men, women, children. They need Jesus to save them from their sin, that they can live in that glorious, beautiful place called heaven. Live with Jesus. Live with the Father. Live with those that believe on Jesus Christ. And what a glorious eternity, eternity, never-ending time it's going to be with the one that would love sinners. Oh, what a future awaits us, and we praise you and thank you. Amen and amen. I give you this time. Come to the altar. Talk to the Lord. Praise God, you're not in hell. Pray for children. Pray for friends. Pray for the needs in our bulletin.